Good morning to you. If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 8, please. Book of Acts chapter 8. We have just witnessed five people who said that they have accepted Christ as their Savior. The Bible speaks about that act like this. Born again. These people have been born again. Well, how'd they get born again? Well, they got one physical birth. They were born, in the hospital. Some of you may have been born at home or on the way to the hospital. But you had a physical birth. That's called your birthday. Okay? And the Bible says that one is not enough. You need to have another birth. But not another physical birth. You have to have a spiritual birth. And you're born again by accepting Christ as your Savior. And as these dear souls here witness to us today, they showed us what it's about. It's about dying. It's about being buried. It's about being raised again. And all of that is because what Christ did for us. So born again, another term for what these people have done, and they showed us that by their demonstration of being baptized today, is a word called saved. Saved. Saved means delivered. Saved means salvation. Saved means rescued. And these people were rescued. They were saved from the penalty of their sins because Christ took that for them. They were rescued out of the prison of sin and darkness because Jesus took their place and died for them. And so the word born again is a good word. The word saved is a good word. And there's one other word in the New Testament that talks about this. It's called Christian. Christian. Sometimes somebody says, are you a Christian? And if you say yes to that, the truth of that word is, listen to it, you belong to Christ. Christ won. Christians belong to Christ. So I hope you're a Christian today. Not just because you say I go to a church somewhere or I'm religious, that doesn't count. That's not the real meaning of Christian. Or I hope you can say today, I've been born again. I have a new life in Christ. I have had a spiritual birth. I've been born spiritually into the family of God. God's my Father now. Okay. Or that you could say, I'm saved. I'm delivered from the penalty of my sins. Jesus rescued me on the cross. Now, we're going to read about a story this morning in Acts chapter 8 where that happened. About a man from another country, not a Jewish man. Most of the time when we read the scriptures, we're talking about the Jewish people, or we're talking about the people who live in Israel, Israelites, or Jewish people, or Hebrew people. He wasn't one of those. This man was from Africa. This man was from Ethiopia. And we're going to learn how God worked in his life so that he could be born again. So that he could be saved, so that he could become one of Christ's ones, a Christian. Now watch your Bible, I'm going to read it for you. Acts chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. Please watch your Bible, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this, quote, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth," end quote. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now that's a long reading. Thank you for being patient for that reading this morning. Sometimes when you read your Bible, you think it's just a bunch of words, and I don't really get it. Well, one way that will help you understand your Bible when you read it is just break it down a little bit. That's what I've tried to do for you this morning. One of the ways we're going to break this down is we're going to notice all of the persons or all of the people that are mentioned in the story. Now, this is not hard. We're not going to take a lot of time, but you'll notice in verse 26, we're introduced to the angel of the Lord as a person, okay? And then secondly, the Lord himself, angel of the Lord. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself as a person. And then Philip is mentioned. There are several Philips in the Bible, but this particular Philip that we read about here this morning is a unique person. He was, for those of you that study your Bible, he was one of the seven that was chosen in Acts chapter 6. His name was mentioned there. We also read about Philip that he had four daughters who would prophesy or teach. We also read about Philip that he's called an evangelist. Matter of fact, I think he's the only one in the New Testament called an evangelist. But the title certainly suits him as we read the story this morning. We also are introduced in verse 27 to a man of Ethiopia, and he's described to us as a eunuch. Several other things we know about him in this verse. He's of great authority. It means he's an important person, and he has a lot of power. He was in charge of the treasury. Well, that's a guy you got to make sure has a good, honest, moral character, okay? So he's in charge of the treasury. Something else interesting about this man we read, he came to worship. Now, he's in Ethiopia, long ways away from Jerusalem. This man has traveled a great distance, and the scriptures say in verse 27, he came to worship. Something else I know about this man from that context is this: he was a student. He was reading the Bible, that is, the Old Testament scriptures. And something else I know about this man is that he was a seeker. Do you know what we mean when we say people are seekers? Well, it depends on the context. If you're a hunter and you're out in the forest and you're hunting moose, you're seeking moose. You're trying to find a big moose so that you can take it home and eat the meat for the rest of the year or 2 years. They're so big. So you'd be a seeker of moose. If you're a single person and you want to get married, you might be looking for a person of the opposite sex. You might be saying, I wonder if I could find a good woman to be my wife or a good man to be my husband. You're seeking something there as a seeker. But in the context, what is this man seeking? And maybe I could ask you this morning, what are you seeking in your life? This man was seeking to know the God of Israel. He was seeking to know why the Jews, many times a year, went to the center of Israel, the capital city of Israel, to the place called Zion, the city of Jerusalem, to worship, and he traveled all that distance just to come and worship. Now, he's done that. It's in the past tense. He's been to Jerusalem, and he is seeking to find out what this is all about. Somehow, this man got a copy of the Old Testament scriptures, and he's on his way back to Ethiopia, and he's riding along in his chariot, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, a little note here. Isaiah, another person mentioned in the text, his writing was about 700 years before Jesus would ever be born in Bethlehem. And so he's reading the prophecy of Isaiah. There are some other people mentioned in the text. You notice in verse 31, it just mentions someone. See that in verse 30? How can I unless someone? There's a person, we don't know who it is, just a reference to another person. And then he referenced himself or some other man. And verse 35, Jesus is mentioned. Verse 37, God is mentioned. All I'm doing is showing you that if you read your Bible, why don't you just stop and say, who's mentioned? And maybe that will help you to begin to understand. Something else you can do when you read your Bible is say, where did this happen? Places in the Bible. Verse 26, Jerusalem to Gaza or Gaza. Now, there's been a lot of news lately about Gaza. And if you look on a map, you can see where that is. It's not hard to find. If you're looking up here, you got Israel kind of like this. You got the Mediterranean Sea over here, and on the coast, sort of southwest of Jerusalem, a little strip, and that's where it's all happening right now in Israel, called Gaza. And there was a road that went from Jerusalem this way down to Gaza, and we're told it was a desert place. Also, places or geography. Philip was told to go near and overtake the chariot. Another reference, down the road, another reference, find some water, another reference. Philip was caught away and he was seen about 20 miles away the first time and about 70 miles away the second time. So there's some geography that's going on here. Another thing I want to do this morning is look at the questions that are asked in the text. Look at verse 30, the question that is asked. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" I was in the airport in Toronto, and I was waiting to catch a plane somewhere. And I'm waiting. You know how you wait, right? Sometimes. And so I'm looking around for a place to sit down. And this person just jumped out of the woodwork. I mean, out of all the people that I saw, you couldn't miss this person. You couldn't miss them. You're not looking for them, but you can't help it but see them. And you know why? Because they were a person from, I'm going to say probably Ethiopia, somewhere in Africa anyhow, and he had, this person, a man, had on his tribal dress. And if you've ever seen a person from Africa with their tribal dress on, it is bright oranges and bright reds and bright yellows and swirling things, and there he is, right there. But that's not the reason I'm telling you the story. This man, are you listening, was reading his Bible. And I looked at that and I thought, that's unbelievable. That's a man from Africa reading his Bible. So I thought, okay, this is where I can do something. I can ask a question. And so I go over to this fellow, and he's quite into his Bible, and I said, "Excuse me, sir. I said, do you understand what you're reading?" He looked up at me with this big smile, and he said, "How could I unless some man guide me?" True story. He knew the text, and I knew the text. And we had a wonderful conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. "Do you understand what you are reading?" was the question. Here is another question in verse 31. He asked Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. So you know the story. Philip's been told to go, and Philip goes, and "Do you do that?" And so the question is, "Would you come up and sit with me?" Now think about this for a minute. If you go back and read chapter 7 and 8, and especially the first part of chapter 8, Philip is probably not in the best sense of, he's probably not on his game very good. He's had some pretty rough days before he meets the eunuch from Ethiopia. Now, the eunuch is a person of real authority. No doubt he had other people with him. The treasurer of Ethiopia doesn't travel alone. He's got bodyguards. You know that. So there's probably a lot of people. And for him to actually ask this, who is this unknown guy, Philip, who looked like he's kind of run down and haggard, and who knows what he looked like. And he invites him to come up into the chariot. He asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And then in verse 34, another question, and that is, after he was reading the prophet Isaiah, the question was, who's this talking about? Who is this person that was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and etc.? So that's a question. Who is this person? Then in verse 36, we have another question, and that question is, what hinders me from being baptized? That's another question. And the answer to that is kind of a question, and it goes like this. If you believe with all of your heart, you can be baptized.
Okay.
So that's just another way of kind of looking at this now. So we got people and we got places and we got questions, but now let me give you this category of what we're going to look for. I just wrote on my notes, reading between the lines. Okay. What is that? Reading between the lines. In other words, what I'm about to share with you right now is something that we know happened even though we don't have the words recorded. I'll prove it to you. Look at verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and he said, of whom does the prophet speak, himself or somebody else? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture. What scripture? Well, the scriptures as recorded in verse 32 from the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born. So he started there, and notice what he did. Preached Jesus to him. This is where you read between the lines. You know, how do you know that? How do you know you read between the lines? Well, I know you read between the lines because after he preached Jesus to him, he said, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? Ah, he told him the whole story. Please listen to me. Between verse 34 and 35, in that area of your Bible, are you listening? Philip told him the story of Jesus. Told him the whole story. I don't know how much he learned in Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us. He went to Jerusalem. He went to worship in Jerusalem. He's on his way back, and he's still reading the scriptures. He's still a seeker, okay? He's wanting to know. And so Philip tells him something. He preaches Jesus to him. Well, when he preached Jesus to him, I can tell you what he told him. He said, let me tell you what Isaiah said. And he said, Isaiah said, this man was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth, etc., etc. And Philip said, you know who that was talking about? That was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who died on a cross for you, Mr. Eunuch from Ethiopia, who was buried and rose again for you. And the Bible says that all of the people that accepted God's Son as their Savior, they were all baptized. He told him the story. There's no doubt in my mind. He cannot come up with this on his own. So he says, he was rejected by his own. He was crucified on the cross, and all who believe were baptized. That's reading between the lines, but it's very accurate because this man asked the question. Notice the question. He says, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, nothing. If you believe. Oh, you must believe with all your heart. Oh. Did you know that it is approximately 18 inches between your brain and your heart? That is 18 inches between life and death. Why do I say that? Because it is possible that you believe in your head, but you have not believed with all of your heart yet. And so Philip says, I could certainly baptize you, but I need you to tell me this. Have you accepted the lamb, the sheep that was led to the slaughter? Have you accepted the one who was denied judgment, the one they rejected, the one they beat, the one they crucified, the one they buried, the one that rose again? Have you believed with all of your heart? He said, yes, I have. So on that confession of faith, he said, look at verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, there's a simple way of understanding this text. Back in verse 26, you got the servant of the Lord being obedient. This is God's man. This is Philip. He got some directions. He did not hesitate. He obeyed those directions. In verse 27 of our text, you have a eunuch who is seeking the Lord. He's got everything. Listen, he's living at the top of the world. He's taking care of the treasury. He's of great authority. He's representing the queen herself, et cetera, et cetera. But there's something missing in his life. And he went to Jerusalem to seek that. And he's seeking it on the way home. And that man has now trusted Christ. So in verse 35, you got a Savior proclaimed. That was Philip's job. In verse 37, you got salvation experience. So we got a servant of the Lord, verse 26. We have a seeker of truth, the eunuch, in verse 27. We have a Savior proclaimed in verse 35. And we have salvation experience in verse 37. So what's the ending? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's a great ending to this story. Let's notice this ending again. He baptized him in verse 38. You'll notice he didn't sprinkle him. He baptized him. The word baptized means to go in, to dip, to go under, to immerse. They both went down into the water, just like Gene here was these dear souls in the day. And he baptized him. And they both came up out of the water. This is scriptural, okay? Now, notice in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. That's kind of interesting. Philip was only a voice. Philip was the messenger. Philip was a vessel that God used, and Philip disappeared. You don't have to go far. Just read that. He was there. It's like the eunuch said, boy, that was great. Thank you very much. Where did you go, actually? Where are you? Oh, he wasn't there anymore. It's just like he was in Jerusalem and the Spirit of God said to him, hey, take off. You're a good runner, Philip. Take off, man, like a shot. And he's running down the road meeting that chariot. Now when the voice, the messenger, the vessel, when God was through with him, he said, I got news for you 20 miles away. Thank you very much. And you don't have to run this time. I'll just take you up there myself. And there he goes. He's gone. Disappeared. And then later, for another 70 miles, he preached the gospel. But the Ethiopian, the eunuch, what happened to him? He went on his way rejoicing. It's a pretty sick and sad world we live in today, and you know what I mean. Right is wrong and wrong is right now. It's just like crazy stuff. There's not a lot to be happy about, rejoice about. This man went on his way rejoicing because his sins were forgiven. He had joined the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He had witnessed to Philip and probably people serving in the chariot with him that he was a Christian and he took his place. You know what else happens here? I don't have any evidence, all speculation. That man from Ethiopia of great authority goes back to Ethiopia. You know what he carries with him? Two things I know for sure he carried with him when he got back. The word of God, because he had it in the chariot. and Christ in his heart. And that's your responsibility. That's your job. That's your privilege. That's your experience if you know Christ as your Savior. Okay, lessons learned and I'll be through. You're wondering, is this guy going to preach the whole time lunch is going on? No, I'm not. I'm going to get through right now. Lessons learned. Philip, the servant of God, heard the voice of God and obeyed, and as a result, a man got saved. Please, Christian, tune your ear to the voice of the Master. Would you do that? Maybe it's next door. Maybe it's across the street. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your children. I don't know where he's going to send you. Maybe it's your parents. But in humility, obey the word of the Lord. Listen to the Lord. The next lesson we learn is this. The eunuch of great authority had a hole in his heart that all the treasury of Ethiopia couldn't fill. He was empty on the inside. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like something missing in your life? I can tell you what it is. You see, life is like a giant puzzle. And it doesn't matter how many pieces of the puzzle you get together, if the piece named Jesus is missing, your life will never be complete. You've got to have him in there. This eunuch of great authority was seeking the truth and seeking the Lord. And you know what I found out? I think you find this out too. The seeking sinner and the seeking Savior are not very far apart. They find one another. Would you be seeking today? God will move heaven and earth to meet that need. He'll meet you right where you are. He'll send you a Philip. He'll send you the answer to your questions. He will fill your heart with a person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, and he will send you away happy. He was seeking, and he found. We're going to have lunch in a minute. Isn't that nice? Great. I'm going to stick around, and so are a lot of other people that work here and love the Lord. They're going to stick around too. And if you have a question, or if you'd like to talk to someone, if you'd like to pray with someone, or someone pray with you, we would be available for that today. Remember, read your Bible slowly, look at it carefully, and let the Word of God speak to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for making it so simple, really. Not hard. People who seek, find. If there are people here today who are seeking, Lord, we pray they'll find very soon. They won't put it off. They'll listen to this man called Jesus, the Lamb of God, who 700 years before he was born was prophesied. Thank you that he came right on time. Thank you that he went to the cross. Thank you that he rose again the third day. And thank you that he lives today to meet with those who are seeking. The Savior came seeking sinners, and the sinners need to seek the Savior today. We pray they will meet, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Other announcements? Okay, the longer you wait up here, the longer till we eat downstairs. You are dismissed. May the Lord bless you.